Hello, bowlers. Welcome back to the latest episode of Bowlers in Pajamas. Yes, Champions League is back after two long months, and it's the round of 16. And we have Nihar on our panel, and I'm your host, Jihan. So let's get straight to the point. It's the big one today. PSG hosting Real Madrid in the first leg of the round of 16 tie at the Parc des Princes. And the big news is that Sergio Ramos, the former Real Madrid captain, who's won every single title with them, is out to play versus Real Madrid. Yes, you heard that right. Versus Real Madrid, he is out, injured again, playing for Paris Saint-Germain in the previous game. And he will be missing the first tie. So, Nihar, what do you reckon, seeing PSG and Real Madrid's form? You think it's going to be an electrifying tie?
Okay. You know what? There's something surprising about PSG's home form in knockouts. Like, how to keep it in good words. Actually, they haven't won in the, you know, they have only once in the last six knockout games at home. I mean, somehow they win away and advance to the semi-finals, finals, or whatever they did. Well, the finals, you know, back then was like a COVID case and the entire tournament was held in Portugal. So, this factor doesn't count. But still, their home record is not that scary. Because last season too, I mean, I remember Barcelona drawing them at their home and even Bayern winning against them. But
they did. You know, even so, previously, you could see Real Madrid beating them at their home, and even Barca, they just won one game actually in the knockouts. That was way back in, like, I guess against Barcelona, the 4-0 win, which came on this day only 5 years back. So it's
pretty bad.
That was the most convincing. That was the last most convincing win I had seen PSG actually winning that game. You know, they previously, when Manchester United also visited them in the group stage, they won the game over there. And also the famous dramatic Rashford penalty, the 3-1, that was also coming at PSG's home. So, you know, PSG have a pretty, like, poor home record.
Yeah, that's pretty, I don't know, weird and stupid too, man, if you ask me. But anyway, there is no away goal. So, you know, today's loss shouldn't bother them that much unless it's like 4-0 or final. But again, I mean, see, my analysis is pretty simple regarding PSG. People say Mbappe is the most important, but I really guess Neymar should be on the field because he actually draws two defenders or two players of the opponent.
But is Neymar Jr. fit?
I mean, the rumors coming out are like he might start on the bench, and that also doubtful. It depends on the last time that will be connected now.
See, coming into talking about Neymar and his fitness is absolutely like talking like Tottenham Hotspur winning a 6-triple title. You can't even know, like, that's almost impossible talking about his fitness.
So, I mean, and one more problem PSG is having is, like, you know, their front three doesn't work that much, and that's creating extra pressure on defense because Messi is way past his prime, and Mbappe, sometimes, occasionally, he does the dirty work in pressing back on something. Neymar never does that, and that's not a good sign. I mean, you need active legs, you know, to roam around. So, I really wish that, you know, Pochettino doesn't start. Even if Neymar is fit, he shouldn't go with Di Maria, Messi, Neymar and Mbappe. The attack might be good on paper, but yeah, I mean, if you can score three, the opponent can score three. So, it doesn't make sense for them anyway. But as I think Neymar won't be playing today as a starter, but I think Messi will be coming to the number 10 role with Mbappe up front. I think he'll be, you know, pairing up with Icardi or someone. I mean, that makes a bit sense. At least the stability will be there. Messi in the free role, Mbappe, you know, doing that burst runs. And coming to the Real Madrid here, I mean, Vinicius is, like, you know, on his day, he's pretty too much good than any other player. By miles, he is good. But he also had those games where he's literally invincible on the pitch. Well, that comes with the age, that maturity, he evolves, he's still evolving. I mean, as we have seen how much of an improvement he has gained in the last 2 years up to now. And Benzema is not playing, I assume, right? He's still pretty much injured.
Yep, he is injured, but he has been traveled. He is traveling with the squad and Benzema's physical state is still better than Neymar. So, you know, we could see if Benzema could be benched for sure, but if needed, he could come on for them. Like, if they are trailing by a goal or something, and if they are in urgent need of a goal or something, then they can, like, bring him on after 60-65 minutes. So, well, let, you know, that is all depending upon the game.
Gareth Bale might start as a number 9.
I mean, yeah, yes, he might. Yeah,
So imagine both the
Yes,
number
yes.
nines for both the teams, creating ruckus with their pace and dribbling. Oh my God, it's going to be tough.
But
So the
Jared Bale
most
is still out
important
of form,
point,
though.
see, that's a different story. You never know him. I mean, that guy scored in two Champions League finals. I mean, he had the
Not
pedigree,
true.
but as you said, form is something which is a bit concerned about. But yeah, you know how he performed, turned up for Wales. If he get in that motivation, maybe we never know. Well, coming to the midfield, we have one of the best, midfields of all time. That bracket, the midfield of Real Madrid's Casemiro, Modric, and Toni Kroos. But well, I won't say. I mean, they are also past their prime for sure. That midfield trio, but still, they are still world class on paper, and they are actually pretty good this season too. Well, they are going against the over energetic midfields of Paris Saint-Germain here. Well, I mean, that's a pretty tough thing. We really can't say which. Who will win out of what? With Verratti out of the tie, but I do think Madrid has a superiority here. And I think PSG's defense is sorted again with Hakimi coming back. Well, even Real's defense is good. I mean, it's going to be a pretty entertaining tie unless both the teams, every time this kind of tie comes, the teams play out a boring draw, man. I mean, I hate it. Like 1-1, 0-0. I hate that. It's like both the teams don't create much. I mean, it's like a bit boring, but I really hope it will be an interesting tie. Well, my bet is like, I think. Maybe PSG might win in the 90th minute or something with Mbappe's goal, as it's their home. And well, again, see,
For
Real Madrid can be pretty difficult.
I'll take a Real Madrid win 2-1.
That's actually pretty much possible too. It's not like it's out of the box. I mean, it's seriously not out of the box. Real Madrid winning 2-1 or 3-1, because we know how PSG is
Honestly, if
stable.
with a team with Manchester United winning with Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, and 17-year-old Mason Greenwood and Tahith Chong, they can win that game. Why not Real Madrid? I mean, they have more experience, more they have played more number of knockout matches. They have won. They have most number of UCL trophies.
Well, Jihan, see,
And
listen, you
obviously,
have to understand one more thing. After they got knocked out by Manchester United in round of 16, PSG have been to a Champions League final and a semi-final. So the pedigree improved. And even the players
they did
who
improve.
came
They
and
did
actually
improve,
have.
obviously. But
I mean, the
that was
mentality
they
improved.
needed
The
to win the
mentality
trophy.
improved.
They did improve, but still. The team which is on paper right now, they have to be unstoppable and unbeatable.
I don't think, see, it's the I don't think the mentality issue or the fear of the past will come back and bite them anyway. I think it's more like the chemistry on the pitch. I mean, the ability to trace back and get the ball, the pressing, philosophy of Pochettino's, I mean, really is not implied within the team. And I think if they can manage that, because see, pretty much everyone in this PSG squad knows that UCL is the only thing they should go after, like with 100% effort, because they know pretty much the Ligue 1 is in their basket or something anyway. And when we don't know, because Messi and all, they know they need an UCL, and if they get their best version or something. I mean, if Messi starts pressing back, though, you mean because he knows he can take this weekend off, considering Ligue 1 is done. Well, PSG will be competitive, but it's all about the effort the players keep. I mean, if Messi, Mbappe still walks around how they do it in the Ligue 1 game, I don't think it's going to be pretty much. I mean, they make things harder for themselves, and with Real Madrid, it's going to be worse than harder. So it's going to be one of the hardest ties. I mean, if they can get through this tie, it's like they're almost going to the Champions League final. I mean, Real Madrid is one of the
All
strongest
I,
teams right now, along with Bayern.
you know, yeah, all, you know, especially all eyes will be on Lionel Messi tonight because it's his favorite opponent, Real Madrid. He always loves to score against them, be it with Barcelona, now with his new team, PSG. But you know what he is capable of, and he knows the team inside out more than maybe Real Madrid knows of themselves. And maybe he has shifted the team, no doubt, but his personal abilities and personal skills and personal mindset, what I guess. Still, Real Madrid will be preparing something for him for sure because you know what
See,
he is capable of.
it works the same way around, right? Because see, as Messi knows Real Madrid knows Messi too. And it's not like he's the one who mastered that technique, right? Because they actually stopped him in three games. I think he didn't score in any El Clasico for the four times they met in the last four attempts when he was with Barcelona.
2018, he scored last
Yes,
El
yeah.
Clasico.
So after that, he didn't score because I mean, the Barcelona squad depleted anyway, and obviously Ronald Koeman didn't do much. And well, we have seen how Real Madrid grew stronger in that phase with the how to say Benzema's upcoming form and everything. But still, I mean, he didn't score. That's the point here. So even he's having kind of slump within the El Clasico category which he was playing. Pretty much, Real would have cracked the code for Messi. I mean, it might not work today too, because see, the way the Barcelona was set up is different and this PSG is different. I think, I mean, let's see, man. I mean, I hope it's going to be an interesting tie, whoever wins that, because I mean, it's too much of a, round of 16 tie to not to get entertainment. I mean, it's that big of a tie. It's
And
hard to
the
be
best
championship
part
semi-finals
about,
caliber.
see, and just to remind our listeners too, that it is the Champions League round of 16, but the away rule has been scrapped. So I guess that favors neither of the team, it favors, because that they are going to go out and play freely and, less under pressure, like of maybe Real Madrid, if they are scoring even five, four goals and reply to none. So, but and even PSG can do the same, but because thinking that there is no away rule over here, so they can just go there and out play freely because there is no away rule. They just need to maybe equal the scores at the second leg and take it to extra time or penalty shootouts.
And Jian, one more concerning factor I want to talk about PSG here, man. I mean, we have seen how stupid they played against Manchester City. Well, I mean, City
Ah,
has the
indeed,
ball,
yeah.
we know that. But see, they've won the game. And they won 2-0 first leg at home. But I mean, those two goals are like moments of brilliance. And City's bad luck in scoring, converting those chances they got
I did see
against.
that. I
But
did see that. Yep.
at Etihad, I mean, see, that's how you play against City. I mean, you defend well, get your chances, counter, and score. Well, maybe PSG did that,
Absolutely.
but they're too big of a team. The attacking caliber present in the team is too good that they shouldn't play the Atletico style, right? Hold, 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 and just release. That's not the way, I mean, this team should function. At least as Pochettino, his Spurs never did that. Well, I mean, then yeah, and definitely PSG got their own medicine when they went to Etihad, where City screwed them 100% royally. So if Pochettino thinks that, let Madrid have the ball and play on counters, it shouldn't work like that. They are also a big team where they should dictate the game, well, no, rather than depending on other team's chances. I hope you learned
Well,
his lesson, because
man's
pretty much last 2 months you don't have anything else to do other than prepare for this time.
yeah. Absolutely, because with reports which I am reading is that Pochettino is not really understanding which formation to deploy. Maybe he's trying the Spurs formation with PSG, trying suddenly have a managing megastar team and coming into the knockouts and playing. So it could actually backfire against him and the club as well, because despite having Mbappe, Messi, Neymar, Di Maria,
Yeah, I mean, see, it's
Verratti,
exactly. See, you need not play front three as a front three. I mean, you know how Messi's playmaking skills are. So you can play him beneath the striker. You can use him as an attacking midfielder or something, because he shoots outside from the box pretty good anyway. I mean, this guy
okay, Neha,
playing
tell
him
you one.
outside on
I
the
have one
wing, I
question
mean,
for you.
doesn't make sense.
I have one very interesting question for you. So, how do you think, a player captain of Real Madrid who has managed them for over 15 years and who has won like every title with them, every he has won, he has absolutely created history. He was the top scorer as a defender in that league as well, and in the club as well. He had over 100 goals. So, as a
Yes.
defender, and always he scraped out. So, what do you think Sergio Ramos's absence for PSG is going to like maybe cause a dissonance for them? Because he
What
knows the club, he
exactly?
knows Real Madrid inside out.
Not
He
to be
knows
honest,
each
very
player.
see, I'll tell you
Because
very
Real Madrid have
frankly.
not made many changes to their, squad after Ramos departed. Like hardly Camavinga came in, that's it. And Alaba came in place of Ramos. So apart from
Well,
that,
see,
they
I do think Ramos will give the inputs to his new team that regarding how the player works, at what times, the player might move out of the zone or something. But I didn't even, honestly, if you ask me, this season Ramos didn't play much. And I mean, he played hardly
Ramos
five
didn't
games,
play
I
much,
guess.
but the thing is, he has worked under Carlo Ancelotti also, and you maybe knows how he maybe knows how he actually worked because they were the La Decima under him only.
Yeah, that's
So
it. I mean, on pitch, if he's playing, it would have been tough for Real Madrid. But I do think Real Madrid should be wary of, the tactics they generally employ, because obviously Ramos knows all of them. Well, obviously, and Ramos will actually help his present team, like how the opponent might play too, right? I mean, yeah, he has loyalty for Madrid, but that means he won't celebrate if he scores a goal against them. But that doesn't mean that he will wish that his own team will present team will lose against his former team, right? At the end, every player is a
absolutely.
football player who wants to win. So the
And he
loyalty
must
part
be
even keep.
itching. I just want
See, even
to
so.
like you see we know he's going to miss the first leg for sure, but he must be itching to play at the Bernabeu. I mean, I just want to see how the fans give him a reception. Maybe they
Them to
kind of
give him a
like,
hero's reception, man. I mean, remember how last time Barcelona fans embraced Suárez? I mean, even he didn't celebrate. He apologized after scoring a goal. I mean, these kind of things are actually heartwarming.
But because see, I'll tell you why. Because Barcelona were cruising to a win, so that was like almost like say a consolation goal, and obviously you can afford to give a ovation to the player because you
No,
know Suárez playing for
not
Barcelona
that.
also
Yeah,
he was
not that.
bored.
Yeah. Even before the match started, when Atletico stepped down to the practice session 1 or 2 hours before, the Barcelona fans were cheering for Suárez. I mean, this is the first time they have seen him in a rival shirt after leaving Barcelona. I mean, you know, right, how the lockdown was there, fans were not allowed. Well, pretty much, you know, that's the case, I guess, with Real Madrid PSG. So, I mean, see, whatever you said regarding Real winning, I think it's going to happen. And even PSG might win because we have seen how this kind of won against City. They might play dirty, but they will win. So let's go to the next Aegean. Oh God, what such a one-sided tie.
Sporting versus Man City, I guess a 4-0 win for sure for Man City. I guess nothing else because Sporting are a very, you know, trying to defend the team. They have parked the bus team for sure. And, you know, pretty much winning against Borussia Dortmund against both the legs. So they look threatening, but you know how depleted Borussia Dortmund were, but can't take Man City lightly at all, you know. But I don't see anything else apart from Man City just cakewalking and cruising against them. And it's more of a like a direct entry to the quarterfinals. And they can't be luckier than this.
You see, Jan, I mean, every time Man City comes, I think, see, they do play very convincingly in Premier League, but somehow they tend to tumble, you know, against the smaller teams also in knockouts in Champions League. It happens, but yeah, see, the point is Sporting don't even really stand a chance against City. But yeah, again, I don't think City will dominate in and out, like how do they boss around the Premier League teams, like, you know, how we see it in general. But yeah, I mean, the 4-1, I think they will concede for sure. Even 5-1, 4-1, something like that. And I guess even Pep rested so many key players, right? Chancellor was rested. So many, I mean, the key players are they rested against Norwich, still won 4-0. That's pretty impressive, man.
That's exactly, you know, but that's the point. Like they have backup for every damn position. And you know, Cancelo can play right back, left back, both. He is a right back actually, but converted into a left back under Pep. But he is an absolute beast over there. And you know, I don't think that defense is breakable. Sporting can even like try and score a goal. Like they will be
Maybe
very
score and
lucky,
counter, man.
very lucky. Maybe they could score a goal like if they get a penalty or something, like or maybe a set piece or something. But apart from an for an o in case of an open play, I really doubt they can break City's defense. I mean, City are too
I
good.
mean,
They are so too good.
unless City gets so cocky and go in front, you know, playing very, very high line, because they do that sometimes. Like they get
They
so
do that, but see,
overconfident and
considering even they will be thinking for sure for one mindset that, you know, like we can't score a goal or two maybe and just hold back because we don't have that away goal advantage anymore. So maybe they could just go all out and just go thrashing them. 4-0 final, maybe just take it, just taking that confidence away from Sporting because at 8th year, the Sporting chance, I guess, 0% chance. Like, I know you can't say 0% in terms of football, but it is Man City at 8th year after all. They have not, I don't even remember the last time they lost at 8th year.
And honestly, even I don't. I guess I mean pretty one-sided, and I really hope that the attacking play from
You know, the
Sporting will lit up.
last time I remember City losing at Etihad was against Liverpool back in 2017 when Liverpool won 2-1. That was the second
Even
leg of
Spurs,
the
right? Spurs,
quarterfinal.
Spurs, Spurs,
Spurs,
Spurs,
no, they
Spurs,
lost the
Spurs.
tie. They lost the tie. They lost the tie. They lost the tie. Spurs lost the tie. They won on the aggregate. City won the
Oh
game 4-3.
yeah. 4-3,
Yeah.
yes. It's a
So yeah,
tie.
so basically, City have as to what I remember, City have just lost one game in I guess last 14 or 15 or maybe 17 home games again, like whenever they have played, and that was against Liverpool in the second leg, and that was almost done and dusted. I don't remember before that City, you know, they have won against Real Madrid, they won against Spurs, they won against Monaco, they have won big, they won against PSG, they won against Barcelona. You know, so they have
Wow.
won, they have beaten big teams as well, exactly. So yeah, let's hope.
So I think we can skip this topic. I mean,
It's
it's pretty much one-sided.
obvious.
Well, the
Yep.
other interesting tie this weekend, week we have Inter Milan versus Liverpool. This is going to be interesting, man.
Oh, very much
Who do you
interesting, I
think, Jayan?
guess.
I mean, I really won't rule out the Inter here because they're pretty impressive. the league at
they
least.
are interested. They are very much interested in the league, but you know, they the thing with Inter is, you know, they don't stop scoring goals. The thing is, like, I didn't remember the last time they went for a, like, they didn't score a goal in a match or something. It's a very rare case. I guess the Milan derby, which went a goalless draw. Then apart from that, you know, Inter are all a team who always looks to score. And I don't know about keeping possession. Maybe they could dominate possession as well, because Liverpool, you know, are slightly vulnerable in defenses as well. And they just, you know, recently they played Burnley, where I saw they were struggling to, you know, coordinate with the team and, you know, scraping. They just scraped through Burnley's defense and scored a solitary goal and won. So, and they were pretty lack, they were lacking finishes and all. And apart from Inter have a lot of accuracy and, like, scoring goals. I have seen a 95% of their accuracy have been converted into goals. So I guess
Wow.
it's going to be a huge, yeah, it's going to be a huge task for Alisson. And, you know, playing at Milano in front of the fans, it's going to be a good game, I guess.
Not honestly, even I can't really say who can win this because any team can win this tie. I mean, I really am concerned about Liverpool because I don't know how Salah will take it because he lost the AFCON final and even some kind of rumors are coming out that he might be involved in some kind of messaging OnlyFans model or something, which is not authenticated, I assume. Well, still the mental health gets distracted. Well, I'm happy for Mane that he won and he'll be in high spirits anyway. But yeah, as you mentioned, they literally scraped through to a win. I think through Fabinho's goal away to Burnley. But yeah, anything can happen. But as it's an away tie, away and at Milano, you as you said again, Inter are going to be favorites here. I mean, yeah, not exactly the hotshot favorites, but I think a slight edge over Liverpool.
Liverpool have a good away record in Champions League because they have not, like, done miserably well. They beat Atletico. They have, you know, still they have lost. They have beaten the teams as well. So, but let's see, because they won 6 out of 6 in the group stage,
And
so
group of death,
that's
and group of
considerably
death.
good.
Remember that, group of death.
Yep, they were in the group of death as well, and winning 6 out of 6 was considered, was reasonably, you know, impressive, very, very impressive. And they played AC Milan. No? They played AC Milan too, so they have already played at the San Siro, so they would maybe have a slight upper edge over that, considering, like, if they could beat AC Milan, they could beat Inter Milan too, because AC and Inter Milan, like, are in the similar sort of form at in the Serie A. And, you know, so yeah, and
And we should
considering they
also
would go
acknowledge
well
the fact that Liverpool don't have injury issues at all now. I mean, all players are
at all,
available
absolute
for
not at all.
Klopp
yep
to
yep
figure it out.
and the best part is Salah and Mane are back. That is the one of the also key issues, so
And even they're
that's
rested, I guess.
another
Enough
plus point.
rested, right?
They were rested, yeah. Salah was rested against, like, he did come and play for some time, but Mane was rested for sure, and I guess both of them will be completely fit to start against them. And Van Dijk will be there, you know, they all of it, absolutely fit. Trent Alexander-Arnold is his best of form, so I guess Liverpool have a slight upper edge, if you ask me.
Well, even if Inter wins, it will be narrow, and I think Liverpool can cruise past them when they take the tie to Anfield.
Good possible.
Well, you know, at least that these two games—I mean, the City's Madrid, sorry, Madrid's and PSG's—and this game is like on 2 different days, so I think we can watch both of them. Now, moving over to the one more one-sided tie here. I mean, oh my God, Salzburg is going against the German giants, and Bayern Munich actually lost the last weekend to a pretty much relatively unknown team. So, you know, I think if I'm a member of Salzburg, I would be dead scared because Bayern is a team who will go ruckus on you if they lose any game. The next game, they'll go on kill 'em all.
You know, that's the best part. I mean, before the champion, any game they play, like Bayern Munich, you know, their worst of fearing opponents are Gladbach, which has them final out of the DFB Pokal, and, you know, beat them at Allianz 2 at 2-1. And now some our newly promoted team came up. I don't even remember the name, and they were back. As to what I read, they were back after 8 or 9 years, and they literally were toying against Bayern Munich. The entire Bayern Munich team were, like, literally struggling to even get the ball. Like, they were they Bayern Munich had eventually taken the lead through Lewandowski, but they were replied back by 4 fucking goals, man. That was tremendous. That was absolute
Yeah, did you
tremendous.
observe one thing? See, I know that this, you know, Bayern actually goes off at least hardly once or twice in every season if they are in the top form. But this season, I think they have literally lost 3-4 games, like they got outplayed by a smaller team. Do you think this
Yeah,
is a cause of
they did.
concern or something?
Did it? I guess the teams are like more getting used to this Bayern's team and you know the style of play they have. Maybe sometimes they don't. Certain teams don't have a reply to them because Bayern get ruthless in the open goals and you know they don't give the ball so easily. But now I guess with the same style of play and same set of players they have, they are like the oppositions are getting used to them and maybe coming about with a good plan. Maybe that is why, you know, because you can see, you know, Bayern have failed to even keep clean sheets in many of the games they have won, though. And
I
there are
think
very
they
few
did
clean
win with
sheets they have
Alaba, man.
kept. Did that, but even
Well,
Manuel Neuer is
you know,
injured, though, but still.
I mean, good thing for Bayern is here is like they generally try to exploit the spaces in midfield, and Salzburg in tradition plays with the pyramid shape, diamond shape in between, with
So you
a
know,
lot of space between the two eights.
I wouldn't call this a cakewalk considering Bayern Munich's form and you know they conceding so many goals and then losing to smaller sides in Bundesliga.
But
So you know,
yeah, remember one more
Salzburg.
thing. In case if Bayern goes 2-0 up, and they think they'll definitely end the game with 5-6 goals. Well, if
Yeah, that
Salzburg
is
don't
obviously.
reply back.
That is obvious because you can't win at Allianz after that. That is for sure. Because
So
it's going
should.
to be like pretty one-sided though, but Salzburg could maybe take a home advantage in the first leg tomorrow and maybe try their best to maybe take a lead or something and then, you know, put pressure on Bayern Munich. That they should at least, I will not say a complete cakewalk right now because obviously it is going to be Lewandowski in the front. So I don't know, you know how ruthless he can get. If he can go crazy, he can smash five also in the game.
Exactly, and he already scored 12 goals, right, in the 6 games. 10 or 12? 10 goals, yes.
Yeah, he's already scored 10 goals. He's the top scorer, I guess. So, yep.
Well, he along with Sebastian Haller, I think Ronaldo's record will be broken this season if I think Ajax won't go so deep, but I think if Bayern goes so deep, they can. I mean, Lewandowski can. But again, you know, we never know. Because even Lewandowski do have off days, actually. So guys, I mean, these are the fixtures for this week, and we will be back with the 4 more fixtures which are scheduled to be played next week, with Atletico and Manchester United being the hot teams contesting for a spot in quarters. So we'll get to that later. So thanks for listening, and take care.